Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
One of the most tragic things you find when reading the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah is that many of the good ones quit relying on God. Many of them started out very humbly relying upon the Lord. But toward the end of their reigns, for some reason, they quit seeking the Lord. What we're going to do today is we're going to examine the apparent reasons for their reliance upon other things besides the Lord. And obviously the reason for us looking at these passages is that we want to be instructed. We want to know what to look out for so that these pitfalls don't do the same thing in our lives as we get older in the Lord, as they did in the lives of these kings. Now, they quit relying on God for five different reasons. We're going to look at the case of five different kings and notice five different reasons that they quit relying on God. Let's look first of all at Solomon. And Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. Here's the problem right here. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, watch it, and his wives turned away his heart. For Solomon, the thing that caused him to quit relying on God, his wives, that's what it was. It was his wives who turned away his heart. Now, if you'll remember in the life of Solomon, the Lord appeared to Solomon twice. And the reason the Lord appeared to Solomon is that Solomon loved God. 1 Kings 3:3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. So when the Lord appeared to Solomon the first time, he gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart. As a matter of fact, the Lord appeared to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "I want an understanding heart to judge thy people." That's verse 9. Verse 12, the Lord said, "I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." 1 Kings 3:12. Boy, you talk about a relationship with God. You talk about a king relying upon the Lord. All of the wisdom, all of the understanding to judge Israel, God gave him. Now, you know what happened. Solomon took the pattern that God gave David and all those supplies that David and others had saved up for the construction of the temple, and Solomon built the temple. And after that, he prayed a beautiful prayer of dedication concerning that temple. And after that prayer of dedication, God appeared to Solomon the second time. 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9, look at verse 3. The Lord said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." So God said, "I've answered your prayer." But the passage goes on to say, you know, when the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, the Lord warned him, "You better walk in my statutes." Verse 4, "If if, see the condition, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, and so forth. There was a condition. But you know what happened? Toward the end of Solomon's life, after he had built the house of God, and his own house, and the house of the forest, and so many other things, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord and encouraged him to follow other gods. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 4. It came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtoreth, Milcom, Chemosh, Molech. The Bible says in verse 8, likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Verse 10 says, he kept not that which the Lord commanded. You look at that and you think, how in the world did that happen? Well, it's very simple. God told him not to marry those strange wives. We see that in Deuteronomy. He did anyway. He told him not to multiply horses. He did anyway. He told him not to multiply gold. He did anyway. And at the end of his life, when he was old, those women that he married convinced him to build high places for their gods, and then they began to offer sacrifices and incense to those gods. Tragic. Well, what is the lesson then? If you're not married, don't marry a woman who is not a God-fearing woman. I don't know how many times we see in letters from our missionaries that some man gets saved and he's engaged to an unsaved woman, and now he's going to keep on in that relationship hoping that maybe she'll get saved, and then, you know, after that they can go on. And sometimes that happens. A lot of times we will see in here in our country men saved, living for God or somewhat living for God, they find a pretty or desirable unsaved woman and think somehow or another they're going to get that thing to work out. I'll tell you what, you better be careful. If she's not a God-fearing woman, later on when you're not expecting it, she'll turn your heart away from God. Listen, perhaps you're already married to a woman who right now is not a God-fearing woman. Let me tell you something. Don't follow her if she tries to turn your heart away from following God. You lead. That's right. You lead, you follow God. You say, well, she's not going to like it. Of course she's not going to like it. She doesn't fear your God. But let her see that the life of Jesus Christ is better than the life of the world. Let her see the hidden man of your heart, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the filling of the Spirit of God, and maybe she'll change her mind. But boy, you're not going to change her mind following her. Not when she's trying to lead your heart away from following God. Don't do it. Don't follow her if she tries to turn your heart away from following God. Solomon did, and it was a tragic ending to his wonderful reign. All right, now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. This is Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about the end of Asa's reign here, near the end. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Wow, that's a tragic thing. So for Solomon, it was his wives who turned away his heart from relying upon God. What was it in Asa's case? Well, in Asa's case, it was easier to rely upon an ally. You see, Asa started out his reign following the Lord. Let's go all the way back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and look at verse 2. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So he started out wonderfully. And after he'd reigned a while, he was attacked by the Ethiopians. And the Ethiopians' army outnumbered Asa's army 2 to 1. There were 1,000,000 to 580,000 was the difference. And you know what Asa did? He cried unto the Lord for help, and the Lord helped him. Look at 2 Chronicles 14, verses 11 and 12. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. What a wonderful victory. Outnumbered 2 to 1, God intervened, and the Ethiopians were defeated and fled. And then all of a sudden, as you see here in the 36th year of his 41-year reign, when Baasha built Ramah, he wasn't as strong as the Ethiopians. And yet Asa didn't cry out to the Lord for help. What did he do? He got some gold and silver together and sent it to an ally, sent it to the king of Syria, which is a terrible ally. You know how the Syrians over the years have attacked Israel and attacked Judah. Well, he sent that silver and gold and asked him to attack Baasha, and Ben-Hadad did that. Well, of course, God was very displeased because Asa had relied upon the Syrians instead of on him to defeat this attempt by Baasha to stop the flow of traffic between Israel and Judah. So what did God do? God sent Hanani, a prophet, to prophesy against Asa for doing this. Look what happened here. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. At that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Oh, what a terrible thing. Asa's reign was mostly peaceful. No more. And after Hanani prophesied against Asa this way, Asa was wroth with him, put him in the prison house, and then oppressed some of the people at the same time. That's verse 10. And you know what happened? In the 38th year of Asa's reign, he was diseased in his feet, in verse 12. And he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Ah, Asa's life started out so wonderfully and ended totally out of fellowship with the Lord. He died from a miserable disease in his feet. The last 3 years of his life, he couldn't walk because of this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. No matter how wealthy you become, no matter how successful you are, no matter how influential your friends may be, no matter how good your doctors are, never trust these things, never trust these people more than you trust God. Rely upon the Lord. Seek the Lord first. And then ask, then after you've talked to the Lord, ask for your friend's help. But only as the Lord directs you. In other words, many of us have been helped by a good doctor, and I'm thankful for them. But I'm going to tell you something. You go to the Lord first, and you find out what the Lord wants you to do, and then as He directs you, then you go and spend the money on somebody else that you may need to help you. Do you understand? You go to them first and not upon the Lord. The Lord knows who you're trusting. And it's a terrible way to end your life. They quit relying on God. Don't quit relying on God. Solomon did it because his wives turned away his heart. Asa did it because it was easier to rely upon an ally than it was to go in there, you know, in faith and fast and pray and get God involved in this thing. Terrible move. All right, let's look at another great king. This is Jehoshaphat. And let's read what happened to him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." What was this all about? Well, Jehoshaphat was a great king, very good king. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So he strengthened himself against Israel. But you know what? After he'd gotten strong, you know what he did? He joined affinity with Ahab. So he starts out against Israel, but then he joins affinity with Ahab, who is the king of Israel. 2 Chronicles 18:1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. You say, what does that mean? It means that he married Ahab's sister. Now, without going into a lot of detail, these two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, tried to reunite Israel and Judah. You know, those kingdoms were separated by God. Jeroboam took the 10 northern tribes. Rehoboam took the 2 southern tribes. These kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, are trying to get the kingdom back together again. So, in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 2, Ahab wined and dined Jehoshaphat. Look at this. After certain years, he, Jehoshaphat, went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. Ramoth-Gilead is a place that was taken by the Syrians in a battle, and Ahab tried to go up there to recover it. Now, they consulted with the prophets, Ahab's prophets, the prophets of Baal, and they said, "Oh, yeah, go up there, you'll get it." But Micaiah, a prophet of the Lord, came and said, "No, Ahab's going to die in that battle." And they went, listen, they went into that battle despite the fact that God had told Jehoshaphat Ahab was going to die in that battle. Jehoshaphat was nearly killed. Ahab was killed. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 31. If God had intervened, Jehoshaphat would have died. It came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It's the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, watch it, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And then that's when the soldier drew his bow at a venture and shot Ahab between the shoulders and killed him. How foolish of Jehoshaphat. Now notice, when Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir attacked Judah, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and the Lord helped him. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You read that whole chapter, it's fabulous what God did. They didn't even have to fight in that war. But you know what? In spite of what he had seen there in trying to work this thing out with Ahab, and in spite of seeing God help him when he wasn't with Israel, he still remained united with Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verses 36 and 37. After this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. God said, I am not going to bless this thing you're doing when you are making an agreement with the ungodly. So the Lord destroyed what they tried to do together. Listen, you and I cannot make these kinds of agreements with the ungodly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18 tell you in no uncertain terms, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What concord hath Belial with Christ? Listen, we are, as the Bible says, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Ugh. Tragic thing that happened to Jehoshaphat. All right. Why do these kings quit relying on God? Here's another one. Joash, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Look at verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Look at verse 16. In this passage, what you have here is a king that had come to the throne when he was 7 years old. And there was a priest who lived to be 130 years old. His name was Jehoiada. And as long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash did right in the sight of the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. He ordered the temple to be repaired after the sons of Athaliah had broken up the house of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 6 and 7. But when Jehoiada died in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 16, you know what happened? The princes made obeisance to the king, and he was persuaded by them to leave the house of the Lord. Joash had repaired everything. Watch what happens. Verse 17, 2 Chronicles 24, 17. After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. God even sent Zechariah, a prophet, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, to prophesy against them for doing this. In verse 20, he said, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. What a tragic ending. What happened? Very simple. Joash was listening to the wrong counsel. You know, when he had Jehoiada, he was listening to God's counsel, but he started listening to ungodly counsel. When those princes made obeisance to him, he got persuaded by them. And it ruined him. Let me tell you something. You better stay in the house of God with God's people and not get flattered by the world's folks into following them. They will cause you to quit relying upon the Lord. Now we're going to look at one more very quickly as we wrap up this broadcast, and that's Uzziah. Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was a great king when he started. Started out in verses 4 and 5, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Oh, he warred against the Philistines and beat them. He warred against the Arabians and the Mehunims and beat them and the Ammonites. And then you know what he did? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26, 8, he strengthened himself exceedingly. Well, what did he do? He built towers. He digged wells. He put store in these defensed cities. He had an host of fighting men in verse 11. And they were a large group. He had, in verse 14, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. In verse 15, he made engines invented by cunning men to shoot arrows and great stones. I mean, that guy, he was marvelously helped, the Bible says, till he was strong. But, verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. What happened? It was his reliance upon his own strength that caused Uzziah to lift up his heart to his destruction. Now, you know what? If God's blessed you and you have the resources, you better seek God's grace for your strength. God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Self-reliance will be your downfall. Now look at what turned these kings' hearts away from following the Lord. Because that's what's going to turn you away from following the Lord. What are these things? Following your wife when she's wrong. That's a terrible thing to do. It'll keep you from relying upon God. Trusting men instead of God, terrible thing to do. They'll turn your heart away from relying upon God. Getting into a yoke with unbelievers, terrible thing to do. Because they will persuade you against relying upon the Lord. They don't understand. Being persuaded by worldly friendships. They don't know the Lord. How could they possibly encourage you to rely upon God? Or relying upon your own strength instead of God's strength. Any of these five things will ruin your relationship with the Lord and will ruin your reliance upon God Almighty. So here's our admonition. Take heed to what happened to these kings. Take heed lest these same things bring you down. You cannot let that happen. Remember what happened to Solomon. Remember what happened to Asa. Remember what happened to Jehoshaphat. Remember what happened to Joash. Remember what happened to Uzziah. The same thing can happen to you. Don't be careless with your relationship with the Lord. And may God bless you as you stay relying upon God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.